es la promesa, el Espíritu Santo. Es el enfoque de todo el ministerio de Jesús y del Evangelio de San Lucas. It really impacted me when I began to study and think and pray about this passage this week, that John, in this passage, summarizes Jesus' entire ministry with one phrase: He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's the main thing. That is the gift, Jesus says in another passage. It is the promise, Jesus says at the end of the gospel. Luke is the gospel of the Holy Spirit, and this is the key focus of the entire ministry of Jesus. Pero también me impactó el contraste entre Juan y Jesús. Lo que decía Juan de sí mismo y lo que decía él de Jesús. Él decía, yo soy débil, él es fuerte. Yo soy más pequeño, él es más grande. Yo no soy digno, él es digno de todo. Yo soy el siervo, él es el Señor. Yo bautizo con agua, él les bautizará con el Espíritu Santo. Qué tremendo, ¿eh? It impacted me as well that John contrasted himself so sharply with the ministry of Jesus. He said, I'm weaker. Jesus is stronger. I'm lesser. He's greater. I'm not worthy. He is worthy. I'm the servant. He's the Lord. I baptize with water. And that's important, very important. Whether you're Baptist or Nazarene or Presbyterian or Catholic, water, baptism. But he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, taking it to a new and tremendous depth. En el Apocalipsis, nunca vemos el nombre de Juan recibiendo este digno eres de recibir honor y poder, etc. Pero sí, varias veces tenemos a Jesús que está recibiendo el Cordero de Dios, que está recibiendo todo el honor, toda la gloria, todas las alabanzas al final de las Escrituras. Qué tremendo, ¿eh? Well, in Revelation, we never hear of John the Baptist receiving the name above all names, or all of the glory, all the honor, all the power. But we see Jesus, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. We see him receiving all the honor and the glory. He's the one that is worthy. When I listen to Handel's Messiah, the Hallelujah chorus is pretty amazing, pretty inspiring. But you know, there's one work, one piece in there that moves me even more than the Hallelujah chorus, and that is the one, Worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. And it moves me to the point of emotions and tears every time I hear it, because not only is it the truth, from the beginning of Jesus' ministry to the end, to his ascension, to his second coming. But I realize that it's something we're going to be able to participate in, to seeing worthy is the Lamb. What if, I was thinking early this morning, what if my ministry was summed up in simply in preparing us to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit? That's all John wanted to do. He didn't want any glory. He could have ridden the wave and been famous and rich and been the hot item on the social circuit of Jerusalem and out in the desert in the north part of the Dead Sea by the Jordan River. He could have been it, the hot thing of the day. He said, no. It's not me. It's not all about me. It isn't anything about me. It's all about him. What if we had that attitude? Just preparing the way to receive Jesus and the fullness of his Holy Spirit. Bueno, nosotros somos los que somos bendecidos por recibir este regalo del Espíritu Santo. Y nuestra parte es simplemente de dejar que Jesús cumpla su ministerio. Y la parte esencial de su ministerio en nosotros y a través de nosotros. Y fíjense que este es un plural, que Él les, ustedes, bautizará con el Espíritu Santo. No es simplemente personas individuales, sí, este es cierto, pero también ustedes, plural, como grupo, como creyentes, como los discípulos de Jesús, van a recibir la plenitud del Espíritu Santo. Well, we are the blessed ones to receive this gift, the promise, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. How tremendous that is. But our part is simply to allow Jesus to fulfill his ministry in and through us. And notice that this is as most, I don't know, I haven't done an exhaustive nor exhausting search of the New Testament, but I think that it's safe to say from memory that most every time that the scripture talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's a you plural. You as a group, you as a body of believers, you folks, you people, or if we were in the South, you all. ¿Qué hará el Espíritu Santo si le recibimos? Si dejamos que Jesús cumpla su ministerio en nosotros, ¿qué hará? ¿Cuál es su ministerio? Él nos va a enseñar cómo orar cuando no sabemos. En una tal situación, Señor, yo no sé cómo orar. El Espíritu Santo nos enseña. Y cuando nos falta palabras, nos falta pensamientos, el Espíritu Santo está ahí para levantar nuestro ánimo y para enseñarnos. El Espíritu Santo va a cambiar nuestro corazón. Él va a abrir nuestros ojos a la realidad espiritual de la otra gente a nuestro alrededor. Él nos va a animar, nos va a levantar el ánimo en tiempos difíciles, en momentos en que estamos sufriendo. Él nos va a guiar a la sabiduría. Él nos va a ayudar a sanar las relaciones interpersonales cuando estamos en desacuerdos y dificultades. Y últimamente nos va a llevar a la semejanza de Cristo. Es una frase que me gusta y no tengo vergüenza en repetir cada rato de que nos va a guiar a la semejanza de Cristo. Este es el ministerio del Espíritu Santo a través de todo el ministerio de Jesucristo. Well, what will the Holy Spirit do? One thing is, he will teach us how to pray. And prayer is something that is not given its due importance in our day and time. We've bought into the philosophy of pragmatism, and we want to do, and we want to see results. And we're not willing to take the time to meditate and to pray and to get in touch with the Holy Spirit until he begins to do the results through us. The Holy Spirit will teach us how to pray. The Holy Spirit will change our hearts, open our eyes to the reality of other people. Have you ever felt compassion for the needs, excuse me, of another person? That's the Holy Spirit working in you. Have you ever changed your mind? You'd like to just send this scathing email or text, and you got it all written. You said, wait a minute. I think I'll erase that. I think I'll wait till tomorrow and cool off a little bit, and Lord, show me the needs of that other person instead of me feeling like I need to tell them what for. He will open your eyes to the compassion for others around you, starting with the people closest to you, which sometimes is the easiest to get irritated with. I better move on before I get in trouble. The Holy Spirit will encourage us and help us in tough times. When we're down and when it's tough going and we don't know what the next step is, the Holy Spirit is going to lift us up and encourage us. And one thing that I've noticed about the Holy Spirit is that, and something else that is a great lack in our day and time, at all levels of our society, that is the Holy Spirit will lead us to wisdom, to seeing things from God's perspective, and seeing things in a right perspective, in tune with God's Spirit, and in tune with his universe, and the way he set things up for us to operate, the way we operate as people and in relationships. He'll lead us to wisdom. The Holy Spirit will help us to heal relationships. And ultimately, he will lead us to Christ-likeness, which is a phrase that I don't mind repeating as often as the Lord brings it to mind. That is the fullness of the Holy Spirit, Christ-likeness. Bueno, el título de mi sermón esta mañana es doble bendición. Y tenemos que todos recibir esta doble bendición. Está para todos los creyentes, todos nosotros, cada uno de nosotros, aquí, ahora y toda la familia extendida de nosotros. Ese ministerio del Espíritu Santo es para nosotros. No es para algunos especiales o algunos super santos o solo algunos líderes. Está para todos los creyentes. Todos tienen que bautizarse dos veces. Y no estoy hablando necesariamente de dos veces en el agua, sino una vez en el agua y otra vez en el Espíritu Santo. Well, the title of my message today is Double Dip. And, you know, that's pretty fun when you're at the ice cream parlor when nobody's looking at the buffet dinner and you can take a little extra. But the Lord wants all of us to be doubly blessed with two baptisms. Baptism in water. This passage is by no means demeaning or denigrating. Water baptism, that's a means of grace. It's a beautiful sacrament. It's a wonderful thing that every believer should experience. But there's another baptism, the baptism with the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. Whatever preposition you want to put in there, I'm not going to argue with the theologians over that one. But I'll just say, hey, whatever it is, I want all of it. I want all of the Holy Spirit. We're not Anabaptists, and we're not trying to talk people into two water baptisms if they feel like one's enough. But we are trying to talk people into the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the baptism in and through and with the Holy Spirit. ¿Qué es el bautismo con agua? Es un simbolismo de morir con Cristo y levantarnos nuevamente para vivir en una novedad de vida. Es un medio de gracia que Dios nos bendice en una manera muy especial, porque es también un testimonio público de nuestra fe en Jesucristo y para seguirle, nuestro compromiso con Él. Y nos identificamos con Él en su muerte, en su vida resucitada y esperando también su segunda llegada. Este es el bautismo en agua. Sumamente importante. Well, water baptism, what is it? It's very, very important. It's a symbolism for one dimension of it. It has many dimensions, but it's a symbolism of dying with Christ. A symbolism of being washed by His blood, washed from sin and from guilt. And then being raised to new life, to walk with Christ. It's a means of grace. We believe in it. We practice it. It's an identity with Christ and a commitment to Him. It's a public testimony saying that I don't care who knows it. I want the whole world to know, family, friends, community, neighborhood, that I belong to Christ. I belong to Jesus, and I want to follow Him. And that's the beauty of water baptism. Pero hay otro bautismo también, bautismo en el Espíritu Santo. ¿No le parece una cosa interesante que Juan está poniendo los dos bautismos juntos? De que bautismo con agua, bautismo con el Espíritu Santo, un simbolismo parecido. Que el Espíritu Santo nos está inundando la vida, nos está limpiando, nos está llenando con su presencia, con su ser. Limpiándonos, llenándonos, dándonos el poder para vivir una vida buena delante de Él. Well, there's the other dimension of baptism, the baptism in, through, with, by the Holy Spirit. So I think it's really instructive, really interesting that Luke, quoting John, puts the two together. It's no accident. Well, baptism with water and baptism with the Holy Spirit, there's some common ground there, some common symbolism. It's being washed over with the Holy Spirit. It's being inundated. Your life just being filled and cleansed and washed completely with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Alguna vez, bueno, varias veces yo he asistido a bautismos. Diferentes lugares, en el lago, en el río, en la piscina, por donde sea, en el noque, como dicen en Bolivia, es un agua al lado del camino. Pero alguna vez, en un bautismo, fuimos al río. Pero en los días anteriores había llovido mucho y el río estaba bastante levantado. Y el agua estaba corriendo rápido. Y el pastor y el superintendente y yo estamos hablando, ¿debemos entrar o no? Es un poco de peligro. Al fin el hermano macedonio decía, bueno, vamos nomás, vamos a cuidarnos. Y, no vamos a permitir que el agua lleve ningún candidato. Aunque estamos listos para los cielos, no estamos apurados. Vamos a bautizarnos. Entonces, tuvimos el bautismo, nadie se ahogó y salimos contentos y con aleluyas, alabanzas al Señor. Well, I remember a particular baptism. All of them have been memorable to me and beautiful experiences. A lot of different things happened. But we went to the river one time for a baptismal service, and it had rained a few days before, and the river was pretty swollen and pretty swift. And we stood there and talked a little bit about, should we or shouldn't we? You know, we're ready to go to heaven any time, but we're not in a big hurry, so we'd like to hang on to our baptismal candidates as long as we could. But at last, Macedonio Dasa, the DS at the time, said, ah, come on, let's go. We'll be careful. We're here, and the Lord will protect us. And he did. We had a great baptism. And I remember somebody almost getting washed away, but they grabbed him, and we got through it fine. Pero no quiero ser llevado por el agua, ahogarme en el bautismo. Pero sí, en el Espíritu Santo, yo quiero que me lleve adelante a donde sea, que me llene mi ser y que sea todo para mí la presencia de Jesucristo, llenando mi ser y llevándome a su voluntad en todo. Well, I don't want to get washed away in a swollen river, but I want to get washed away in the Holy Spirit. I'd like to just be swept along and just taken away into the fullness of the Holy Spirit of Christ. Well, I've got some more here, but I'm going to save it for next week. I'd like to tell you the good news and the bad news about what the fullness of the Holy Spirit isn't and what it is, because I'm confident that the New Testament is very clear about it. And there are some misconceptions out there, and I want to tell you about them because I want to lead you to the real stuff, the good stuff. I'll save that for next week. Pero hay algunas otras ideas aquí, pero voy a guardarlas hasta el domingo que viene, si Dios quiere, para darle las buenas noticias y las malas noticias. Algunos conceptos falsos que están circulando acerca de la plenitud del Espíritu Santo y los conceptos bíblicos verdaderos de cómo es la plenitud del Espíritu Santo.